Sorry, you wanted to continue with...
Well, getting on in August, we didn't start recces again until the 21st of August, and at that time we got into a new base at Cecina. And this was right on the coast of the Adriatic, and it was quite fascinating because the landing strip ran north and south. There was a big range of mountains on the port side as you came in to land from the south, and on the starboard side there was the Adriatic. And the landing strip consisted about a mile of link mesh, which was one of the main things that made it easy to land on a lot of these places. Many of the airfields that we landed on consisted of this link mesh, but mostly they were shorter strips. This one was much longer. And we found out that it was due to the fact that we had Americans on the base as well. And they were flying an aircraft that we call flying prostitutes because they had no visible means of support. They had very, very short wings but tremendous motors. They were very, very powerful. I'll think of their names in a minute. And they used to pack a hell of a punch. But the one thing against them was that in all the Air Force bombers, Royal Air Force bombers, air bombs were in the bomb bay lying down. In the American aircraft, the bombs were put into the bomb bay pointing down. Now, we always thought this was a bloody stupid idea, and one day coming into land along this strip at Cecina, up the top end of the strip, the northern end of the strip where the Americans were, there was this tremendous explosion and fuel going off, ammunition, a hell of a blast. And this was as we were coming to land, which isn't a good thing at all. Cookie put the aircraft down and we taxied to our place where we parked. We discovered later that the Americans were loading these bombs and one of them had tripped and gone off and fallen down underneath the aircraft. Well, it must have been live when it left the aircraft, which is a very, very dangerous thing, and we didn't like being near them after that. I can't remember the names of the aircraft. On the 21st, I've got quite a number of things up top of my diary here. On the 23rd of the 8th, the French forces of the interior liberated Paris. There you are. On the same day, Romania capitulates, and on the same day, Marseilles liberated. So that meant that France, southern France, had fallen and capitulated, and the mob had gone into Paris. And our job now was to look out and bomb barges wherever we could find them, because this is the means that the Huns were getting a lot of their equipment away. Blitz on barges in canal at Lorient. 6 bolts over target at 2-minute intervals. Target well lit by flares. Bombed 4 barges and railway bridge. Opposition from 6 searchlights at Ravenna and 3 at Suchina. Didn't like these searchlights much, because before we used to just have one or two. Now they've got a lot more, and it made it a bit difficult to pick out the searchlights that you're going to knock off. The raid after that, we did a similar thing around Firenzuola, Borgo, Faenza. Much movement between Florence and Bologna. Bombed MT 6 miles south of Porto. I don't know what the name is here. Of Porito, 6 miles south of Porito, MT 4 miles southwest of Vigato, and two 250-pound bombs, MT at Produro. In all that trip that we were away, it was nearly a three-hour trip, we didn't get one single bit of that chucked at us. On the 26th, armed recce, Pistoia, Produro, Prato, Viglia, Imola, and bombed south of Castiglione, bombed Barberino, two 500-pound bombs causing one flamer. When you talk about doing one flamer, you often think, well, God damn it, I wonder what the hell it was, whether it was just a jeep or was it an ammunition carrier or what was. But we never, ever could find that out. All we'd know is that we'd have this big explosion, there'd be lots of flares and flashes, and we used to assume we'd got hold of a thing carrying bombs or ammunition or something like that.
Were you ever experienced friendly, sort of dropping bombs on your own allies?
No, that was something we had to be bloody careful about. And we were usually pretty well informed. We didn't find out till much, much later, but a lot of these trips that we were on were observed by the ITI, Italians, who were free fighters, sending information back to our intelligence. Yeah, that was interesting. We had to be very careful. And on all our time, we can't ever remember dropping bombs on a friendly mob. We used to go very close to the bomb line. And you could always tell where the bomb line was because there'd be flashes from both sides of it. But usually it was up to the navigator to be absolutely spot on as to where we were. And we were blessed with the most wonderful navigators that I've known. There was one fellow called Bill Gingell, he was a POM. But he was absolutely marvellous, and he was so spot on. You could set your watch by him. You'd say, "Well, the target's coming up in so many seconds," and it would. It was there. I think they were very clever, and it was all done by logs and noting down times. You had to take drift. And the speed of the aircraft, and if there was a headwind, it would slow the aircraft down. He had to take all these things into consideration. And all our navigators were absolutely spot on. It was pretty marvellous.
Given the fact that southern France had been taken, cleared out, in relation to the resistance you are now experiencing on these runs, was that diminishing? To what degree was that diminished?
As we went further north and the Huns got more concentrated, the ACAC and the resistance became more. But we never encountered the 88mm that we'd encountered in the desert, that sort of thing. we never encountered that. They did fire 88 millimeters at us, but I think it was most Bofors type, which I can't remember the size of the Bofors guns, but we used to have that fired at us in 20 millimeter. We did some fantastic trips in our reconnaissance, flying up and down these valleys. It was incredible that we managed to get away with it, because sometimes the navigator would say, now we're coming up to such and such a road which runs through such and such a valley, and there's a very steep range of hills at the end that you've got to watch out for. And sure enough, there they were, and the pilot would have to pull back in the stick, and we'd zoom up in the air over the top and then catch the road down the other side. You had to be pretty well on the ball, and you were pretty low level most of the time. Sometimes we would be down below the level of the hills. You could look up and see the mountains on either side. What it was for the Huns who were driving their trucks along the road, I don't know. It must have been pretty grim to suddenly find a Baltimore up their bums dropping bombs on them, because this is how we trapped a lot of them. And if we could work it, we used to bottle them up in some of the valleys by dropping bombs on the front and causing a roadblock, and then going back and having a go at the ones that were on the road, and then the bolts coming along behind us would continue on with the job. Sometimes some of these convoys were quite big, but later on in the war they used to divide them up a little bit so that they weren't quite so big. They got the message, I suppose. Some of our trips we had to look out for the Huns who had hidden things away. They used to drive their vehicles off under the cover of trees and things like that. And we were told to look out for this sort of thing. And they sometimes used to give themselves away by having a little fire going down there in the bushes or the woods, in which case we'd drop a flare, and that used to open things up. If they started to fire at us, then we knew that there was something down there, so we bombed that area. Here I've got bomb lights in wood at Finale, and then we transformer station and factory at Medina, causing chaos and confusion by fusing the works. A beautiful sight. This was amazing. We dropped the bombs on this transformer station, and all down the roads you could see these flickering white lights going, all the sparks and things. Lots and lots of them. Interesting. Strafe beacon at Civitavori with all guns, much like flak, fairly accurate, encountered at Pontelago Scuro, foxed with illuminating cartridge. When they were firing at us, sometimes we'd fire off a Viri cartridge, and they would think, oh God, we're firing at a Hun, so they'd turn the flak off. Couldn't do that very often. The last raid for August, Arne Reggie again, San Arcalango, all sorts of places, two searchlights from San Arcalango, and three slight heavy flak from Penabili. Big battle developing off Pesaro, and Pesaro is on your map there. as you bottled the Huns up, they began to get quite nasty. And here we are into September, and we're still doing our night reconnaissances. Arm Ricky, Fawley, Bagno, Cecina, San Arcalango, Rimini, Bond Road at Subiaco. And we bombed a kike offshore north of Rimini. Strafed the kike, front gun squirted possible barge off Rimini. Moore, a mole where there was an AKAC gun, strafed with the point fives, and possible motorboats observed southeast of Rimini. By this stage, I think I'd used up all my ammunition, of which I was just sitting there saying, God, Jesus, look at these, why can't we have a go? The wireless operator used most of his. And I've got here, saw the heavies, and that's the heavy bombers, working near Bologna. Opposition on road south of Capani, light, fairly accurate. Heavy flak from Penabili. Two unidentified aircraft seen. Again, on the 2nd of September, another raid, Prato, Bologna. We started one large fire in the area of Ferrara. What the fire was, we wouldn't know, but it used to be pretty obvious that it was something like fuel or ammunition. Fired at, and here we have the first time, fired at by an unidentified aircraft, may have been a Ju-88, and that's the first time we had been fired at. It missed us. The first time. Now, here we are, the 5th of the 9th, 44, Bulgaria declaring war on Germany. Russia declares war on... we are at peace. Peace with Russia. Oh, wait a minute. Russia declares war on Bulgaria, and then on that was on the 5th of the 9th. On the 9th of the 9th, Bulgaria at peace with Russia. So that was a bit quick. I don't know what happened there. On the 4th and the 10th, on the job again. And this time we could see the fighting going on between the two, the Huns and the Americans and the Allies that were coming up. We were slowly bottling the buggers up.
To what extent did you see the intensity of the fight?
We could see the flashes of the guns going off, the artillery flashes. And we could see the burning results of the artillery. It used to be quite specky. And we used to drop bombs on the area behind where our artillery was firing their shells. So we went and caused a certain amount of chaos as well. Two big fights seen south of Rimini. 120 of our tanks advancing. So it would have been tanks versus whatever. As the Huns were slowly bottled up more, they used to fight like hell to back. They used to be very difficult people, they were. We've got a butte here. Bombed and strapped MT between Fawley and Faenza, calling chaos and confusion. Flares and incendiaries, all guns used in attacks. also strafed a convoy of 50-plus MT north of Rugi. Moles and warehouses in Rimini, many strikes seen. Heavy flak encountered south of San Marino and Pendobili. Big battle going on around Rimini. That was one area where they seemed to concentrate. And I don't know why, but I think there was a port at Rimini and they were trying to get a lot of their mob away. It probably shows Rimini. It's very difficult to see this map with a bit of turned off for it too.
Sorry, continue. You found the port. You're mentioning boats and...
Yeah. There were quite a few boats and barges in the Rimini area. And we assume, naturally, that the Hun were embarking people on these boats. And we wondered where the hell they were going to, because there's not much room in the Adriatic to go anywhere. You would have had to go over to the other side, to Yugoslavia, or up to the southern part of France. Really, there wasn't much room anywhere to go. Had they gone over to Yugoslavia, they would have encountered a lot of opposition there, because that's another thing we used to do. We used to go over in our spare time and drop supplies to the partisans in Yugoslavia. It wasn't very far to go to do this. So the Hun was really getting well and truly bottled up. And when we went to knock off these boats and that, we did encounter quite fierce opposition in the form of AK-AK. here we bombed lights off Faena and on the Borgo Road. MT just outside Cesena, one bomb causing terrific firework display. Big battle still raging in the Rimini area. Many fires seen. Opposition in Castagna, Rimini, Sevilla area. Front moderate. Heavy flak. We began to encounter 88 millimetre again. And this, I suppose, was the fact that the army was beginning to condense a bit and getting some of its heavy stuff brought in. It was about this stage that things did begin to get quite hot. I've got a feeling that this might be towards the end of my operational efforts. Bombed enemy gun positions in Rimini. That in the Rimini battle area, causing one fire. Flares and incendiaries went on to Recco Roads, Rimini, Cesena, Ravenna, Bologna, Ferrara, Ravenna, Larea, and the Po. Very little movement seen, an ME-109 seen in the target area, and one unidentified two-engined aircraft seen near the Po. AK-AK heavy, inaccurate. From Rimini. The next raid on the 23rd, armed recce round Ravenna, Route 16 to Ferraro, Porto Garibaldi, RT-67 to Forli. Two ships sighted off Forchi del Reno. We had no bombs left. This was really the terrible thing on these trips. You used your bombs up and then you'd suddenly come across a lovely target, and that's when we'd signal back to base and the other mob would go in and knock them off. Two ships sighted off Focchi del Reno, no bombs left. Much movement at Venice. Venice again was an open city. We weren't supposed to bomb anyone there. Opposition from searchlights and light flak at Ravenna. My last operation, I think, yeah, my last op on the 25th of the 9th, couldn't carry out original recce owing to weather. say, Recco Florence, Bologna, Ostigula, San Benedito at the Po, Ostigula, Bologna, Bomb Lights in Bologna, and a bridge at Ostigula, £500 bombs, flares, and we dropped the front post north of Bologna. And the front post was a paper that they used to make to drop to the Huns, telling them what a bloody awful mess they were making of the war. I've got copies of one somewhere. Big battle scene in progress around Rimini and Firenze. Opposition heavy ack from Bologna and the bomb line. Total flying time for December, 25 hours. And that was my last op, my second tour finished on that day.
What was the feeling like knowing that you were coming up to your last operation?
It was one of relief, I suppose. In my various crashes that I had damaged my back. And it got to the stage where I could hardly walk. And on this particular operation, when I got out of the aircraft, got out of my turret, I had to more or less crawl along. MO used to check us out, and he said, "I think we're going to send you down to the Naples Hospital for a checkup." And that was the finish of my ops, because in Naples Hospital, they x-rayed and found that I had a fractured bone in my spine. So that finished my operations. I was rather sad that it happened like that. I went into the hospital in Naples, and I was there for 2 months, I think.
Must have been difficult saying goodbye to the crew.
Oh, it was terrible. Absolutely bloody awful.
How did you cope with that situation?
Well, it was very, very unhappy. It was a terrible thing to happen. And you didn't hang around. You couldn't hang around. I couldn't, because of the fact I was going up to hospital. But I said goodbye to them, and that was it. But they had finished too. They had finished their ops as well, excepting, and this hurt me a lot, on the day that we finished our ops, the squadron was re-equipped with very high-powered, beautiful Boston aircraft. Now, Boston was different to Baltimore. Baltimore took off, it had a tail wheel. So it took off, and when it took off, the tail came up and you went off. With Boston's, they had a nose wheel. So you're always in the landing and takeoff position in a Boston. Plus, it had very, very strong motors. I think our motors were 1,800 horsepower, which were pretty powerful. But the Boston's, I think they had 2,200 horsepower, which was very strong. And I felt a bit chuffed about that. However,
to what degree did you sort of promise each other that you'd catch up? What was the aim for the future?
Oh, well, it wasn't much of an aim. We didn't know what was going to happen. That sort of thing never occurred. The squadron did go on chasing the Huns up into Austria. They had a pretty sticky situation where they had to bomb a bridge over the Po River. And that was a terrible, terrible place, because a lot of other squadrons had gone in to bomb it and had lost a lot of aircraft. And it wasn't until Cookie's mob, our 55 squadron, got on the job that they discovered what the problem was. The Po River crossing was a bridge, and the thing was that we went up to knock the bridge out on several occasions and it wasn't there. But at night, when we went up to the same area, the amount of flak and resistance from the area showed that the bridge was there, but we never managed to sink the bridge. We discovered afterwards that the bridge was on great big pontoons, and during the day, the pontoons on either side of the river were dragged back under the cover of trees and branches on the edge of the river. And the result was that there was nothing there for daylight attacks. Nobody knew. One of the squadrons of mosquitoes, which did low-level reconnaissance, took off one night, and they're the ones that discovered how the situation was worked, and the wing commander in charge of the squadron was killed because he did a low-level flight up the river to bomb the bridge, and little did he know that it had barrage balloons up with wires strung across the river to catch low-flying aircraft. And he flew into this and was killed. But before he did so, he radioed back what was happening.